and quit being Christians. But listen, God is where you are and where you find him. And the devil gets the members of the South Norfolk Baptist Church and every church to stay home on Sunday. And when you stay at home, you are aiding the enemy of the Lord. Nothing pleases the devil more than for you to stay at home on Sunday. Well, some do not like to be reminded of this, to attend the church. Some people say, well, I don't like the preacher. No one should let even the preacher keep them from being obedient to Almighty God. Find a church. That's no excuse. And we will not forsake our house if I attend dirty hours. Blessed is the man that keepeth the Sabbath. It is a shame and a disgrace. My good friend, Dr. J.D. Gray, First Baptist Church in New Orleans for many, many years, 25, 30 years, I guess. He's retired now, has arthritis, but he still hobbles around with his cane. Bob Harrington was down on Bourbon Street at that time working. A young boy was arrested for dope and for crimes and put in jail, hopped up on marijuana. Well, the man called Dr. Gray to come down to the jail to see his son. He was in need. Now, to get the background of it, that man had been a man who had criticized Dr. Gray for everything he had done in the church in New Orleans. He had always been a harping critic. Never a positive word out of his mouth. Dr. Gray went to the prison, and when he walked into the jail and came down the hallway and came face to face with the young fella who had been drugged heavily, you know what he said? He said, "You are the preacher? Well, if you're the kind of man my father says you are, you need help, not me. You see, like father, like son. Whatever you give your boy or your girl, that's the same thing they will grow up on and the same thing that they will go out in life and communicate. If you are for everlasting, knocking the preacher or knocking the church, you will find that your son will do the same thing. And it is not long before they are off of the church. And they're done with it. I thank God when I see fathers and mothers who uphold the church and uphold the preacher. And I see some fine young people today that we have out in professions in life. And they're not there supporting the church and the community where they are. Why? Because their fathers and mothers exalted the church and the Lord Jesus Christ. The attitude of parents is reflected in the children. The next peril that Dr. Powell mentioned was that of the unpaid tithe. Well, a lot of people are critical of the church and her appeal for funds and finances. And a lot of people are not interested in the financial welfare of the church. Some are highly respectable, but they think money is only commercial. My friends, we ought to be grateful for our deliverance from sin and the joy of salvation that we have. And we ought to respond in this relationship with giving to God. A Negro preacher down in Rocky Mountain, North Carolina, had 47 members in his church, and he wrote to the paper, the newspaper, and he said, "I want you to put an announcement in for me." And the editor said, "We'll be glad to do it. You write it out." And so he wrote it out. "The Mount Moriah Baptist Church will meet Sunday with the Reverend Obadiah, pastor, preaching the gospel. We invite all the members to come and bring three books with them when they come, their Bibles, their hymn books, and their pocketbooks." The pocketbook needs to be baptized, right? I used to glory in the deacon we used to have when he gave a testimony to us. He always said, when the offering plate is coming, we ought to always shout, you know, "Hallelujah, here it comes," you know. And we'll have a chance to give something to Jesus. Well, listen, it wasn't a deacon, it wasn't a preacher, it wasn't a finance committee that said, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse and prove me, thus saith the Lord." It was God who said it. Howard Butt, who was a young man, back when I was in the seminary, he was going around preaching, and his daddy, and he inherited a large chain of grocery stores. And he went one day to Charles Weldman down in Waco, and he said, "Now, Charles," he said, "I'm going to join the church here." And he said, "Charles, I believe in tithing my income." And he says, "I'm going to put in a check right now, $5,000 every week. No offense. I'll put it in every week." Well, time came, he was putting more than that in. But listen, we need to give, not that God is going broke, but we need for the blessing of our own souls, our own welfare, my friends. I think that's a peril today. And then there's the peril of the unrealized cross. So many people deny the cross today and deny the blood of Jesus Christ on that cross. I think that's a peril today. We need to have that cross as a reality, because Paul saw Christ die for him on a cross. And God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. I like that old hymn, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all."
A sixth thing he said with an uncompassionate heart, a cold heart. In the prodigal son story, we see the love and the compassion of the father waiting for the sinner to come home. The boy who came back from Korea and called his mother and said, "I have a friend. He has one eye and one arm. I wish to invite him home with me." The mother said, "Well, bring him on. He can stay a few days." And he said, "No, I'd like for him to stay quite a while with us, maybe a month or so." The mother says, "I don't think I can stand that long." The next day, she received a telegram, something like this: "Your son is dead. He leaped from an 11-story window in a hotel. He left a note. I am sure of one thing, but I wanted to be sure that you had room in your heart for me, because he was the one who had the one eye and the one arm. There is so much lack of compassion today. We are so cold. We have no room in our hearts for a broken world. Did you know the only hope that some sinner may have is your compassion? He will never be amazed at his sin until you express your compassion. He will never feel that he needs forgiveness until you offer him compassion. He will never feel brokenhearted for his wayward life until you show him your compassion. There are lots of people out in this world tonight who are waiting for your compassion and for mine." And the tragedy is that few Christians have ever won a soul to Jesus. We go to meetings, we pep ourselves up, we brag on what we know about the Bible, but we have a cold heart. Would to God that we would pray and say, "I am tired of a cold heart," and begin to witness with fervor. And then the last thing he mentioned to me was the unsaved soul, that of being lost. That to me is a peril. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their heart, that understand and should be converted, and I should heal them. In Nebraska, a man went, and finally, somebody asked him to church. "I have been here in this town for 4 years. They have invited me to card parties. They have invited me to drink. They have invited me to everything except to Jesus. I walk out of the church door and I say, 'Where do you live, little lady?'" She had two little children on Seaboard Avenue, just around the corner from the church. "Has anybody ever invited you to church?" "No." "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets and stonest them which sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wing, but ye would not." We ought to be like Jesus. "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son
Hath not life?
Some will say, but this is not the time. But this is the time. Christianity can do her best, and God is ready to do something if we will let him. God wants us to run on his track. I don't know, I feel tonight like sometimes my telephone, it rings. I'm not like old Brother Williams some years ago, I was there visiting him one day. He won't mind for me reminiscing, will you? I'm reminiscing. I did too much of that this morning. But I went to visit him one time, and he told me, he says, you know, he says, my wife likes to rearrange the furniture in the house. She's always shifting something. And he said she got in the bedroom the other day and shifted everything around in the bedroom. And it was night, and he said, the phone began to ring, and I got off the bed, and I was in a corner, and I couldn't get out. She had me locked in. He was in an awful state. But I remember the telephone ringing sometimes, you know, and you'd be out in the yard working, or you'd be doing something, you get your hands cleaned up so you can pick it up, and by the time you get there and pick it up, and somebody goes click on the other end of the line, they hang up on you, right? Well, somehow I think God may be calling some of us tonight, and I hope we don't hang up on him. These are perilous times, and God is calling, and God wants an answer, and I hope he'll answer. Whatever we need to answer, I hope we'll do it. While we sing now, hymn number 352. I am thine, O Lord, 352.
Thank you. Father, we pray tonight that thou would forgive us for the cold love of the years. And here in the silence of this place, we bow and we pray that thou shalt take away all of these fears and kindle in us something anew and afresh, this fire which will burn and cause us to be what Jesus would have us to be. Because we do believe and we do trust thee. And even though tonight we feel that we are less than the least, we are not all that we ought to be. And we pray somehow, Father, that the fire of love may burn in us, and that it might burn evermore, till we burn out for thee. In Jesus' name.